and welcome back to Weird on the Rocks. This is a podcast that explores the weird, unusual, strange, and unexplained, all while getting our drink on. I'm your host, Katie. So today's episode is going to be kind of a sad one, but a story that I definitely think is worth bringing attention to. I'm going to be discussing the death of Kendrick Johnson, a 17-year-old black boy from Georgia. This is possibly one of the most divided cases that I've ever covered, and there are people on both sides of this that have been very loud and very passionate about their beliefs. This is also yet another case that has been widely covered on social media and the internet, which I believe has both benefited and simultaneously hurt this case. I want you guys to keep an open mind while you listen today and really think critically about the information that I'm telling you. And as always, I encourage you to continue your own research after you're done listening and to be able to form your own opinion. You can find the show on Facebook and Instagram at Weird on the Rocks Podcast, Twitter at Weird_Rocks, and the website weirdontherocks.weebly.com. Please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts and subscribe on whatever platform you're listening right now. Before we get into the good stuff, I want to share this week's beverage of choice. I'm actually recording in the afternoon today. I usually record in like the early evening. I just got off work. It's about 3. So I'm actually drinking a cold brew martini. This consists of cold brew coffee, vodka, Kahlua, and a little cream. I'm a huge coffee drinker. Most of my friends and family can attest to that. I usually drink at least 3 cups a day. So what better way to enjoy my coffee than with some booze? I've been having to wake up really early for my new job, but I get off early, so it's kind of nice. But in the afternoon, I've been having to have another cup of coffee around this time to, you know, get me through into the night, as I'm sure many of you can relate to. All right, well, let's get into it. Cheers, and let's get weird. Kendrick Johnson, or KJ as he liked to be called, was born on October 10, 1995 to parents Kenneth and Jacqueline in Valdosta, Georgia. I don't have much information about Kendrick's early life, but his parents say, quote, "He was fun, he was a jokester, he was the life of our house, he was the joy of our house," end quote. And friends say that he was quiet, didn't like to cause trouble, and loved math and sports. He played basketball, track, and football, and had hopes of going on to play college football after he graduated from Lowndes High School. Kendrick was 5'10 and around 160 pounds. On Wednesday, January 9th, 2013, school was back in session after Christmas break. It was a normal high school day, and around 1:30 p.m., the cameras in the gymnasium showed Kendrick running through the gym alone. The footage never shows Kendrick leaving the gym, but it does show other students entering 3 minutes after Kendrick did. Soon after, Kendrick is marked as absent from his next class, which was weightlifting. That evening, Kendrick was supposed to attend a freshman basketball game, then come home immediately after. Around 10 p.m., his mother Jackie, who was a school bus driver for the Lowndes County School District, became concerned that he wasn't home yet, so she drove to the high school to look for him. After driving and walking around for close to 2 hours, she eventually called the police. The police initially dismissed Jackie's concerns and said that Kendrick was probably with friends or a girl, but Jackie was insistent that Kendrick would have called her or one of his siblings, and that going this long without contact from him was highly unusual. Finally, around midnight, the police confirmed Kendrick as a missing person and began patrolling the area looking for him. The next morning, Friday, January 10th, Jackie went to the high school to alert the administration that her son was missing. They immediately printed out flyers with Kendrick's face and posted them around the school. Around 10:30 a.m. that morning, several students were inside the gymnasium. They were sitting on some wrestling mats in the corner of the gym, filling out a paper for a class. Next to the students were 21 rolled-up wrestling mats that were stored standing up vertically. Usually these mats were stored horizontally, but the school had acquired more and had to stand them up to fit them all in the gym. One of the students noticed socks sticking out of the top of one of the rolled-up mats towards the middle of the group of mats. Thinking it was a joke, they climbed up the bleachers to get a better vantage point to look down into the mat from above. Inside, they saw Kendrick's body. The student frantically tried to pull Kendrick's body out by his feet, but was unable to. They alerted a teacher, and the student called 911 on their cell phone. With help from the teacher, they knocked the mat over on its side and pulled Kendrick's body out head first. The presence of blood, the smell of decomposition and vomit, and the state of Kendrick's body all showed that he was dead. The teacher informed the students to transfer over to the other old gym, and the entire high school was placed on lockdown. Jackie was still at the school and meeting with a guidance counselor at the time. The counselor got a phone call, and Jackie overheard the person on the other end say that a body had been found in the gym. By the time that his body was discovered, Kendrick had been wrapped up in the wrestling mat in an inverted position upside down for 21 hours. Due to the fact that he was in an upside down position for so long, his face was smashed and incredibly bloated and inflamed. I did not include photos or videos of Kendrick on my social media because I don't think that that's respectful to him or his family, and they are also quite graphic, which I know not everyone is comfortable seeing, but if you would like to view these, just Google Kendrick Johnson and they are available. The 17-year-old who had been seen on the cameras running through the gym just the day before was now being wheeled out in a body bag. The Lowndes County Sheriff Chris Prine and his team, along with the school superintendent Wes Taylor, investigated the scene. The coroner was not contacted for 6 hours after Kendrick's body was found. The Lowndes County Sheriff said that this was standard protocol and they do not call the coroner until the crime scene has been investigated thoroughly. However, the coroner says that this is not standard protocol and since has publicly bashed the sheriff's office for their handling of this case. The day after Kendrick was found, Sheriff Chris Prine and Superintendent Taylor issued a joint statement that said, quote, "Although the exact cause of death is yet to be determined, as of this stage of the investigation, nothing has been found to indicate foul play was involved. An autopsy will be conducted on Monday by the Georgia Bureau of Investigation Medical Examiner's Office to attempt to determine an exact cause of death," end quote. This statement also expressed Taylor's extreme sadness of losing a student, but Kendrick's name was not given. The next day, law enforcement met with Jackie Johnson and told her what she already knew to be true, that this body was most likely her son, Kendrick. 4 days later, on Sunday, January 13th, Kenneth Johnson, Kendrick's dad, was taken to the medical examiner's to personally identify his son. Kenneth said that his handsome son looked nothing like himself. The next day, Monday, January 14th, the Georgia Bureau of Investigation conducted an autopsy, which concluded that Kendrick died from positional asphyxia, which means that he was in a position that prevented him from breathing. The report said, quote, "well-developed and well-nourished black teenage male. Congestive decomposition changes of the head, neck, torso, and upper extremities. No significant injuries identified. On the right posterior medial wrist, there is a 1/8 by 1/8 in superficial abrasion. On the left distal fourth finger, there are 2 superficial abrasions measuring 1/8 by 1/8 inch and 3/16 by 1/8 inch," end quote. This means that Kendrick had 2 very tiny scratches on his wrist and finger. Kendrick's organs were also given a drug screening, which showed he had no substances in his system at the time of death. The autopsy concludes with the statement, quote, "Given the complete autopsy, including toxicology and histology, the scene photographs, the scene forensic testing, the law enforcement investigative findings, including crime scene investigator report and witness statements, and the coroner's findings, it is my opinion the cause of death in this case is positional asphyxia and the manner of death is accident," end quote. However, Kendrick's parents, Kenneth and Jackie, along with many in the community, immediately had suspicions that this was not an accident and that Kendrick possibly had been murdered. So if his death truly was an accident, how could it have happened? And what evidence points towards this conclusion? According to friends of Kendrick, it was common for them to store their shoes and personal belongings inside the rolled-up wrestling mats to avoid having to pay for a locker. One friend said that he and Kendrick actually shared a pair of Adidas sneakers, and that after class, Kendrick would, quote, go to the mats, jump up, and toss the shoes inside the middle of the hole, end quote. Authorities believe that Kendrick was doing this when one of his shoes fell too far down into the mat. The mats were usually stored horizontally, making it easy for kids to place their belongings inside and easily grab them out. However, during the holiday break, more mats had been added, and they were placed vertically to make more room. It is believed that when this was done, the pair of shoes fell through the hole in the mat down to the gym floor. Since the mats were now vertical, Kendrick most likely went up into the bleachers, then stepped down onto the tops of the mats, walking or crawling on top of them, looking inside to find which mat had his shoes in it. These mats were very sturdy wrestling mats and would be strong enough to support a 17-year-old crawling on top of them. Perhaps Kendrick attempted to reach down to grab his shoe and he fell into the hole and became stuck. One pair of shoes were found on the floor of the gym underneath the mat, which is assumed to be the pair of shoes that he was reaching for. Another pair of shoes was found towards the top of the mat near Kendrick's legs, and another single shoe was found on the gym floor. It has never been confirmed how the pair of shoes ended up near Kendrick's legs, as he would have not been able to put them there himself once he was upside down. Although some believe that another student may have not seen Kendrick's feet sticking up and could have tossed a pair of shoes into the top of the mat without realizing Kendrick's body was inside. It has also never been confirmed how the single shoe ended up on the gym floor. Many online believe that this was a result of Kendrick tossing the shoe out to make more room for him to reach down inside, or that he had kicked it off when he was struggling to get out, or that he was using his foot to hook at the top of the mat and pull himself up by his toes, and the shoe popped off. Now, one of the main details in this case that I can't find a solid answer on is what position Kendrick's arms were found. Some sources say that both of his arms were at his side, facing up towards his feet. Some sources say that one arm was stretched down as if reaching for something. And other sources say that one arm was found bent up around his head in a defensive sort of position. The autopsy report that I looked at made no mention of how his arms were positioned, so I'm not going to make any conclusion on this detail because I couldn't find a definitive answer. Another detail that investigators believe point to an accident was the blood that was present at the scene. Blood was found inside the rolled-up mat, on the gym floor beneath the mat, and on the pair of shoes that he was presumably reaching for. Investigators say that this was blood dripping off of Kendrick's face. Because he was upside down for so long and in such a tight space, all the blood in his body ran to his head, making him become very bloated and causing blood to leak from his nose, mouth, eyes, and ears. Along with the single shoe found on the gym's floor, there was a textbook found in the corner of the gym and a yellow manila envelope also on the floor nearby. Neither of these items had any blood on them. In 2014, the YouTube channel ReNewsIt2 uploaded a video called Kendrick Johnson Mat Test. In the video, a teenage boy who was 6 feet tall was rolled up into a wrestling mat similar to the one Kendrick was found inside of. The commentator stood the mat up so it was vertical and asked the kid to yell, which was practically inaudible, despite the fact that they were standing right next to it. The boy was then asked to try to get out or knock the mat down, which he couldn't. They rolled the mat back on its side and let the boy out, and he was already very sweaty and out of breath. He commented on how hot it was inside the mat and that it was very scary, even though they had him upside down for less than 15 seconds. The mat that Kendrick was in was surrounded by other mats on all sides of it, which would make it virtually impossible to knock it down or to hear his screaming. But although the sheriff and the medical examiner both concluded that Kendrick's death was a tragic accident, his parents Kenneth and Jackie had their doubts from the very beginning. Their first suspicion that something wasn't right was the fact that Sheriff Chris Prine didn't call the coroner for 6 hours after Kendrick's body was discovered. While Sheriff Prine is adamant that this is standard protocol to not have the coroner involved until the crime scene is thoroughly investigated first, coroner Bill Watson was very critical of the entire operation. He told CNN, quote, "I was not notified of his death until 1545 hours. The investigative climate was very poor to worse when I arrived on the scene. The body had been noticeably moved. The scene had been compromised and there was no cooperation from law enforcement at the scene. Furthermore, the integrity of the evidence bag was compromised on January 13th, 2013 by opening the sealed bag and exhibiting the dead body to his father. I do not approve of the manner this case was handled. Not only was the scene compromised, the body was moved. The integrity was breached by opening a sealed body bag. Information necessary for my lawful investigation was withheld." End quote. In fact, most people involved in this case have been critical of how the crime scene was handled. Law enforcement did not wear protective coverings over their shoes when in the gymnasium, possibly contaminating the crime scene. They did not secure the scene with caution tape. They moved and touched Kendrick's body several times and also did not collect all the evidence at the scene, including the single sneaker that was found on the gym floor and a sweatshirt found on a bench in the gymnasium. Many believe that these items could have been tested for DNA or fingerprints. There was also some dried blood found on one of the walls of the gym. This blood was tested and confirmed to not belong to Kendrick, but it was never confirmed who the blood did belong to. From the very beginning, Kendrick's parents believed that he was murdered, and these details could possibly have pointed towards a person of interest. The family also believes that the coroner was not called for 6 hours because law enforcement was trying to cover up something at the crime scene and didn't want the coroner to know about it. While details surrounding Kendrick's death were still being collected and made public, many were wondering about the cameras in the gym and what they had picked up. Perhaps this footage could explain what really happened to Kendrick. But it turned out there really was no footage. Grant Hendricks, a certified forensic video analyst, talked to CNN about these cameras and what they captured. He explained that the school cameras are activated first thing in the morning when the lights go on, until the end of the day when the lights go off. There were a total of 4 cameras in the gym, all at different angles. All 4 cameras experienced large gaps in their recordings on the day Kendrick died. The cameras also had incorrect timestamps, where none of them showed the same times. 2 of the cameras were missing 1 hour and 5 minutes of footage, and the other 2 were missing 2 hours and 10 minutes. At 1:09 p.m., 2 of the cameras came back online and showed Kendrick running through the gym. He was alone. The cameras were not pointed towards the corner where the mats were stored, and this is the last that you see of Kendrick. Within 3 minutes of him entering the gym, footage shows 7 other students walking into the gym. Then for the next hour of footage, there are various gaps. While this doesn't show exactly what could have happened over by the mats, it could prove who the other students were that were in the gym at the same time as Kendrick. His parents and forensic video analyst Grant Fredericks all believe that these gaps in recording and the fact that the school was responsible for providing the tapes to the police is highly suspicious. Fredericks told CNN, quote, "Those files are not original files. They are not something an investigator should rely on for the truth of the video. They've been altered in a number of ways, primarily in image quality and likely in drop information loss. There are also a number of files that are corrupted because they've not been processed correctly and they're not playable. I cannot say why they were done that way, but they were not done correctly and they were not done thoroughly. So we're missing information. Right now, what they've done is they have left it up to the school district to define what it is they want to provide to the police, and I think that probably is a mistake." End quote. And in regards to the school being the ones to determine what information was provided to law enforcement, Frederick said, quote, "The investigator's responsibility is to acquire the entire digital recording system and then have their staff define what they want to obtain. You don't want somebody who might be party to the responsibility to make the decision as to what they want to provide to the police," end quote. During the interview, CNN correspondent Victor Blackwell asked Fredericks, quote, "Do you think it's a coincidence that the time period in the gym is missing?" end quote. To which Fredericks said, quote, "Oh boy, investigators are always suspicious. They should be suspicious. And it's suspicious that that time period is not there," end quote. The Johnson family attorneys expressed that they and their clients believed that the missing footage and discrepancies in the footage was possible evidence of a cover-up that involved the school and law enforcement. Kenneth Johnson said, quote, "There's enough evidence to show that Kendrick was murdered. They know something happened in that gym, and they don't want it to come out," end quote. However, the Valdosta Daily Times, the local newspaper, did their own analysis of the surveillance footage. They found that the issues with the cameras were easily explainable. They claimed that the lapses in time weren't lapses at all, and were simply the result of the timestamps on the cameras not being synchronized with one another, but that no time was actually missing from the footage. They also found that the cameras were motion activated, meaning that missing time was due to there being no activity in the gym, so the cameras just weren't recording. There were also many issues with the overall handling of Kendrick's body and his belongings. When Kenneth Johnson went to identify Kendrick's body, he recalls that the cooler in which his body was being kept was warm, not cold as it should be. This made him believe that the Georgia Bureau of Investigation lab was purposely trying to speed up the rate of decomposition, most likely trying to hide some sort of evidence shown on Kendrick's body, such as bruises or abrasions. Then, while Kendrick's body was being transported from the Georgia Bureau of Investigation lab to Harrington Funeral Home, all of his clothing went missing. To this day, Kendrick's clothing, including shirt, jeans, underwear, belt, and socks, have never been recovered. The Georgia Bureau of Investigation says that these items were given to the funeral home, but the funeral home claims not to have them and believes that the person transporting the body must have disposed of them, although it's never been confirmed. Again, Kendrick's parents believed that this was more proof that something was being covered up. They believed that his clothing must have shown evidence of a struggle, such as blood present or rips and tears, and that officials didn't want the family to know this. At this point, the Johnsons decided to have a second autopsy conducted. A funeral service had already been held and Kendrick had been buried, so this required his body to be exhumed. The Johnsons took Kendrick's body to pathologist William Anderson in Florida. In what would come as yet another shock to the family, Anderson's findings completely contradicted the first autopsy. He stated that Kendrick had hemorrhaging on his right cheek and a small bruise on the back of his neck, and concluded that Kendrick died from non-accidental blunt force trauma that he could not have done to himself. And the pathologist also had another odd discovery. Most of Kendrick's organs had been removed and replaced with crumpled up newspaper. This only solidified the Johnsons' belief that Kendrick's death was not an accident. Although the media had already picked up the story, the findings from the second autopsy ignited a media frenzy. The story was picked up by all the major news outlets, and speculations began to be spun as the truth. The media also began to use sensationalized language and imagery. Instead of saying that Kendrick was found inside of a rolled-up mat, they worded it to say that he was rolled up in a mat, conjuring two very different images. They also reported that all of Kendrick's organs were missing, causing a public outrage and for conspiracies to run wild. It turned out, however, that removing organs and replacing the empty space with newspaper is an outdated but standard procedure of many funeral homes. Organs that have deteriorated too much are often replaced with newspaper to fill the body out and give it more shape for funeral proceedings. Those who believed that Kendrick was murdered, including his family, saw this as yet another sign that something wasn't right. The Georgia's Secretary of State office conducted an investigation into the funeral home, but found no wrongdoing. However, the Johnson family was not going to let it go that easily and believed that the funeral home discarded his organs in an effort to dispose of evidence that showed foul play. In February of 2014, a year after Kendrick had died, the family sued the Harrington Funeral Home. The lawsuit document said, quote, "This lawsuit challenges the morally despicable, fraudulent, unlawful, and unfair business practices of Harrington Funeral Home," end quote. Around this time, Reverend Floyd Rose, president of the Valdosta's chapter of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, began to join forces with the Johnson family. This included holding a protest and march of 1,600 people in downtown Valdosta. The Johnson family and their supporters made signs, including ones that showed a graphic photo of a deceased Kendrick. The photo was a close-up of his face, incredibly bruised, bloated, and with skin missing. The press and social media quickly picked up the photo as well, plastering it all over and supporting the Johnson family in their claim that Kendrick wouldn't look like this if he had died accidentally. They believed that Kendrick was beat and then murdered, and that this leaked photo proved that. During this protest, the Johnson family, along with supporters, also stood in front of the doors of the Valdosta courthouse. They were frustrated with the lack of information from local investigators and believed that they weren't being given the entire truth regarding Kendrick's death. They hoped that standing in front of the doors would draw attention to their cause and strengthen their voice for their son. Their message worked, and the protest was broadcast on all major news outlets. However, it also caused legal problems for the Johnson family. After being asked to leave, the supporters, who were now chanting, "No justice, no peace," refused, and Kenneth and Jackie Johnson, along with five other family members, were arrested on site for interference. They were all charged with misdemeanors and faced 12 months in jail and fines, but Judge Mark Mitchell dismissed their jail time and their fines. So with the Johnson family and their growing group of supporters, including much of the public and media, believing that Kendrick was murdered, who do they believe is responsible? Two Valdosta students, Brandon and Brian Bell. Brian Bell had been friends with Kendrick, but the two of them had gotten into a fight on the school bus a year prior to Kendrick's death. Brian claims that the fight wasn't anything serious and that he and Kendrick continued to be friends up until his death. However, Kendrick's mother, Jackie, adamantly denies that the two were friends and believes that the Bell brothers, who are white, had an issue with Kendrick because he was black and in a predominantly white school in the South. Jackie claims that Kendrick would talk about Brandon and Brian harassing him, to which they both deny. And there was also something else about the Bells that drew suspicions from many, that their father, Rick Bell, was an FBI agent. The fact that Brian had a previous altercation with Kendrick and that their dad was a federal agent led the family to believe that Kendrick's death was intentional and then was covered up by law enforcement. After pressure from the Johnson family and their attorneys heated up, a federal investigation was conducted on the Bell family, including obtaining a search warrant and searching their home and confiscating personal belongings and documents. Both Brian and Brandon were questioned by the police and gave alibis. Brian was in class at the time, which was confirmed, and Brandon was on a school bus about to leave for a wrestling match with his wrestling team. In October of 2013, the magazine Ebony, a monthly magazine with a mostly black audience, published an article about Kendrick's death. In the article, the author Fred Rosen made mention to two young men who they believed were responsible for Kendrick's death, but they only provided the fictitious names Chris and Clark Martin. After its publication, the parents of Brian and Brandon Bell sued Ebony magazine for slander and libel, stating that the article implied that their sons had something to do with Kendrick's death, and that it was obvious that the pseudonyms Chris and Clark Martin were in reference to Brian and Brandon Bell. They claimed that after the article was released, their sons were, quote, "threatened with bodily harm and ostracized," end quote, by students at Lowndes High School. Around this time, Brian, who had received a college football scholarship, received news that the scholarship was being rescinded due to his suspected involvement in the case. But through it all, Brian and Brandon Bell, along with their parents, have remained adamant that they had nothing to do with Kendrick's death. In an interview with WSB-TV, the reporter told Brandon that the interview was going to be heavily criticized by the media and public, to which Brandon replied, quote, "Yes, sir, it should be. And I want everybody to know the truth that they can ridicule me and they can say whatever they want, but in the end, the truth will prevail and everybody will find that me and my brother have been innocent and always will be innocent," end quote. The reporter then asked if he saw Kendrick Johnson, to which he replied, quote, "No, sir, not at any point during that day," end quote. When Brian was asked about the fight he and Kendrick had the year prior and what it was about, he said, quote, "I can't even remember. It was like so small to us. It was ridiculous," end quote. In 2016, 3 years after Kendrick's death, the Department of Justice wrapped up their investigation into the incident and decided to not move forward with pressing any criminal charges in Kendrick's death. Of course, this outraged the Johnson family and supporters who believed that Kendrick was murdered. His parents, Kenneth and Jacqueline, continue to be very vocal about their ongoing fight for their son's justice and refuse to accept the Department of Justice's ruling of an accident. Kendrick's mother, Jacqueline, has posted YouTube and Facebook videos talking about her son and calling on others to help them in the pursuit of the truth. In a Facebook video, she can be heard saying, quote, "I don't care where I go nor what I do. I cannot stop thinking about my baby. This is so messed up on so many levels, the pain our family has to go through, and none of the murderers are locked up. It's not okay. All our kids are dead with no justice," end quote. Although the death of Kendrick Johnson occurred 7.5 years ago, his story has recently been back in the headlines. After the murder of George Floyd and the Black Lives Matter movement which has followed, many are insisting that Kendrick's case be reopened and reinvestigated. Kendrick's parents, Jacqueline and Kenneth, still remain adamant that their son was murdered by Brian and Brandon Bell, and that his death was covered up by law enforcement with help from the FBI and Rick Bell, an FBI agent. There is currently a petition on change.org titled "Reopen Kendrick Johnson's Case." The petition has over 1.6 million signatures. The petition reads, quote, "Johnson was an honor roll student and well-known athletic all around the school, which has caused him to gain a lot of attention, especially from females. However, one day Kendrick Johnson's popularity began to make people jealous, which was when he had gotten into an argument with Brian Bell, who was a student at Lowndes High School, located in Valdosta, Georgia, along with KJ. Both Kendrick Johnson and Brian Bell constantly argued with each other over Brian Bell finding out that his girlfriend, Taylor Inken, was having a sexual affair with Kendrick Johnson. There were two confession statements floating around, which made national news. The first statement mentioned that Taylor Inken had told someone's best friend that it is true that she had sexual intercourse with Kendrick Johnson. And once Brian Bell found out, he threatened KJ, instead of being mad at her for cheating on him. Kendrick Johnson had told Brian Bell to meet him in the gym after the third block. Both Brian Bell and Ryan Hall, who is Brian Bell's best friend, had met KJ in the gym, and then Brian Bell killed Kendrick Johnson. Brian Bell has also stated that he killed Kendrick Johnson multiple times over the phone. Brandon Bell, who is both a student at Valdosta High School and the brother of Brian, had got drunk at a party on July 4th of 2013 and told people that Brian killed Kendrick Johnson. The second statement was about Ryan Anthony Domecq Hernandez, who was a friend of Brandon Bell, side of the story, which said that when he went to Brandon Bell's apartment in Florida, Brandon Bell had told him that Brian Bell killed Kendrick Johnson by striking his neck with a 45-pound weight dumbbell after they began arguing over Taylor Inken. According to Brandon Bell, Brian Bell had told Ryan Hall that if he did not keep quiet and help him move Kendrick Johnson's body, his father, who is Rick Bell, who is a retired FBI agent, would make sure that he would pay for it. Rick Bell had then contacted Sheriff Chris Prine and notified him about the fight between both Brian Bell and Kendrick Johnson. Then Sheriff Chris Prine contacted the county coroner, and Kendrick Johnson's organs were removed and replaced with newspaper to hide evidence, hide other injuries, and allow the time of death to be unpredictable, which was determined during the second autopsy. Rick Bell then contacted another FBI agent who remains unknown, so that he could edit the school surveillance video by deleting an hour and 25 minutes of the school's original videos. Ryan Anthony Domecq Hernandez had said that Brandon Bell also had told him that the autopsy was falsely documented. However, after Kendrick Johnson's mother, Jackie Johnson, and father, Kenneth Johnson, did a second autopsy on him, they had found out that his death was not accidental and he had died from blunt force trauma to the upper neck on the right. Please help us. We have all of the answers, but we demand justice. Thank you and God bless. According to WALB News 10, Sheriff Prine expressed, although the investigation of the death of Kendrick Johnson is closed, he continues to encourage citizens to contact investigators should they have information. Investigators have continued to follow up on all information that has been presented. End quote. Through my research, I couldn't find that anyone from the Bell family has responded to this. And I was also not able to find any evidence that the claims in this petition, such as Brian and Brandon confessing, are substantiated. On June 29th of 2020, the Lowndes County Superior Court dismissed a petition from Kenneth and Jacqueline Johnson that demanded a coroner's inquest into Kendrick's death. A coroner's inquest is a, quote, inquiry into the manner and cause of an individual's death. Its purpose is to give a jury information on a person's death so the jury can determine the cause and manner of the death in question, end quote. The court ruled that this was a refiling of another that had been previously dismissed. In fact, in 2017, the Johnsons did file a lawsuit of $100 million against Rick Bell, claiming that he ordered his sons, Brandon and Brian, to murder Kendrick. Lowndes County Attorney Jim Elliott said that this allegation was baseless and unfounded, and there was not sufficient evidence for this claim. Jackie Johnson then dismissed the lawsuit because they wanted the DOJ to investigate first, and then they had plans to refile. Nothing ever came of this, but the Johnsons were sued for $850,000 in legal fees for having so many lawyers and employees work on the lawsuit, then only to dismiss it and not move forward. And in August of 2017, the Johnsons were ordered to pay an additional $292,000 in attorney fees to all the people that they claimed wrongdoing against in their lawsuit. Some believe that the Johnsons are desperate to charge someone with the death of their son and don't care what damage they cause along the way or if their claims are even true. Many have also called the family out for sensationalist behavior. The Johnson family had many of their supporters and people who also believed Kendrick was murdered use a picture of him post-death on their protest signs. The photo shows a close-up of Kendrick's face, very bloated, black and blue, and with skin missing. The family rallied supporters through the use of this photo, claiming that he would not look like this if he had died accidentally. The photo also began circulating around the internet, drawing more attention to Kendrick's story and making people second guess that it was an accident. However, it turns out that this photo was actually taken after the autopsy, not after Kendrick's body was found. And during the autopsy, the medical examiner had to peel back a layer of Kendrick's skin for examination. After most autopsies, anyone would have looked like this. And the Johnsons' credibility took a huge hit when people realized that they were purposely using this graphic photo to garner support. So, what really happened to Kendrick Johnson? Was this a sad and tragic accident where a young and talented kid lost his life? Or was this intentional murder? Through my research, and especially from reading comments on forums and YouTube, it seems as though opinions are split pretty evenly down the middle. For every comment that states Kendrick was murdered, there is another that says it was an accident and that the family needs to come to terms with that reality. This case definitely does have some odd details and things that just don't make sense. How did one of his shoes end up on the gym floor so far away from his body? Why didn't the police collect all of the physical evidence? Why aren't the school cameras working properly? And could something have been missed or tampered with? What position was Kendrick's body found in? And how did Kendrick, whose shoulders were 19 inches wide, fit inside of a mat with an opening width of 14 inches? These and many other details are what people are bringing up now and trying to rally support for the Johnson family. over the past 2 months since the murder of George Floyd and the country talking more openly about police brutality and violence against Black people and Black men in particular, Kendrick's story has again been gaining more attention. I have seen many TikTok and Instagram videos of people talking about this case and asking people to look into it and sign the petition to get it reopened. Many of these videos include the most shocking parts of the story, including the autopsy photo of Kendrick, the information about the missing surveillance footage, and the fact that his body was found stuffed with newspapers. As a person scrolling through Instagram who has no prior knowledge of this case, of course, these details are going to be startling and make you question that it was an accident. However, many of these things have been explained and clarified, such as the fact that the school cameras didn't have lapses. They just weren't in sync with one another and were motion activated, and that the stuffing of his body with newspapers is an outdated but pretty standard funeral home practice. However, many of these videos also bring up doubts that are less easy to dismiss, such as the fact that Brandon and Brian Bell's father is an FBI agent with a lot of power, and also the undoubtedly obvious understanding that the Lowndes County Police didn't handle the crime scene properly. Many believe that Brandon and Brian murdered Kendrick, possibly over an ongoing fight, or because he was Black, or because he was having sex with Brian's girlfriend Taylor, and that their father, along with the police, helped cover it up. This could explain why the police fumbled the investigation so badly, because it was on purpose, and they were trying to hide evidence. So, what do you guys think? Was Kendrick Johnson murdered, or did he die from suffocating in a wrestling mat trying to reach for his shoes? Personally, this case is overall just really sad for me to think about and definitely brings up a lot of emotions, as I'm sure it does for all of you listening. When I first started my research, I'd only seen and read the shocking parts of the story, such as his organs being removed, his clothes missing, and the state of his body. I remember thinking, oh my God, why aren't more people talking about this? Then I read something about how Kendrick was a Black kid at a predominantly white school in a predominantly white neighborhood in the South, and it really only solidified my belief that someone must have intentionally killed this kid and that it could possibly be race-related. I honestly thought that I was going to present an episode to you guys that was going to be about racial injustice and the fact that white police officers have and are killing Black people. I thought that the fact that Rick Bell, Brian and Brandon's father, was an FBI agent and works closely with the police was proof that there was a cover-up of some sort and that he abused his power to kill an innocent kid, maybe because of the color of his skin. But honestly, for me, the research just didn't bring me there like I really thought it was going to. I personally believe that Kendrick Johnson died from a very tragic and horrific accident. I think that he was storing his shoes in the wrestling mat, as his friend attested to, and that he fell down into the mat while trying to retrieve a shoe. I think that some people really underestimate the sheer force that something like that mat could have on a human body, especially one that was upside down and unable to move. I listened to another podcast about this case. At this point, I can't remember which one. It was a while ago, but they described this as kind of a boa constrictor. The mat would have pushed on his body so tightly that he would have been smashed and suffocated very easily, especially if he was upside down and all the blood would have been rushing to his head. Some have brought up the fact that Kendrick's shoulders were too wide for the mat, but if you're upside down and the mat is tightening around your body with such force, something bigger than the opening of the mat could absolutely fit down inside there tightly. The medical examiner stated that Kendrick most likely died very quickly in this way, and I really hope that's what happened. It makes me so sad to imagine him in there, you know, trying to wiggle free, trying to call out for help. It makes me honestly just want to cry thinking about it, knowing maybe that he was going to die. such a young boy, and he was loved by so many and had such a bright future ahead of him. He was about to go to college. He was an honor roll student. It's so awful that he died in such a really terrifying way. I believe that his parents really just maybe can't come to terms with the fact that their son died in a freak accident, because it doesn't provide any answers or closure to them. What an awful, just random thing to happen to your child. But sometimes horrible things like this just happen, and there isn't always someone or something to blame. I think that sometimes people can't accept that, and they want an answer as to why their loved one isn't here anymore. And until they're able to accept it, they aren't fully able to grieve that person, because they're so wrapped up in trying to find the guilty party. My heart really goes out to Kenneth and Jacqueline Johnson. I think that losing a child would be the very worst experience that someone could ever go through in their life. And until one of us have experienced it, we really cannot judge others for how they handle their pain. I think that the real force to blame in this case is the Lowndes County Police, who really, really messed up this entire investigation. They never secured a crime scene boundary. They let numerous people enter the scene. They did not wear protective foot coverings. They moved his body and touched it, and they didn't bother to collect all the evidence left at the scene. It's mind-blowing and frankly unacceptable that police forces are still fumbling the most basic of protocol. It's also very unacceptable that Lowndes High School was using cameras that were not synced up properly. The whole point of those cameras is to protect their students, and every camera had a different timestamp on it. This case would have been a lot more cut and dry with some more answers if those cameras had been working properly. It's very inexcusable for a school to overlook something important like that. As far as Brian and Brandon Bell, I don't believe that they had anything to do with Kendrick's death, simply because there is no evidence against them. Both of them have solid alibis that can be confirmed by multiple other students and staff members, and neither of them are seen entering the gym around the time that Kendrick died. Also, the allegations against them in that petition that claimed that Brian's girlfriend was cheating on him with Kendrick, and that Brandon drunkenly admitted that his brother killed Kendrick, they haven't been confirmed as far as I could find. And I am not saying that these boys aren't bad people or possibly racist, but I can't find any evidence suggesting that they are. And if these boys had nothing to do with Kendrick's death and truly are innocent, their lives have also been ruined by this as well. They have been harassed and bullied and denied a college scholarship over this, which isn't something to be taken lightly either. If they are innocent, I can't imagine how hard all of this must be for them and their family. Honestly, I don't know if there will ever be a definitive end to this story. It seems as though all of the evidence from the incident has been provided, and Brian and Brandon Bell have alibis and are adamant of their innocence. I hope that Kendrick's parents are someday able to accept what happened to their son and to be able to move on and just live long, happy lives. But I also hope that if Brandon and Brian are guilty, or that if someone else in that school is, that that information will surface. If Brandon really did admit at a party that his brother killed Kendrick, then maybe there's footage from that or something, and that this case can be reopened. But I'm a firm believer in justice and having the truth be revealed, even if it doesn't fit your belief. So whatever that truth is, I hope it prevails so that Kendrick can have the closure to his life that he really, truly deserves. But as always, I want to know what you guys think. Do you agree with me that this was a really awful, sad accident? Or do you believe that Kendrick was murdered? Do the details and explanations from those involved just not add up for you? I would love to hear your thoughts and perspectives on this. As I mentioned, my whole opinion of this case really kind of did change while I was researching it, and I'm really curious to hear what your takeaway was from this, or if you've read things that I didn't mention. There's so much information out there, it's impossible for me to include everything. I never want you guys to share the same belief as me simply just because you know me or you like my show or, you know, I'm the one doing the research. So I'm always open to having discussions that oppose my stance and to be questioned on things. So I want to hear from you guys. You can find me on Facebook or Instagram at Weird on the Rocks Podcast. Shoot me a message. Let me know your thoughts. And as always, thank you so much for listening today and for supporting the show. And until next time, cheers and stay weird.
That was a Titancast episode.